Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles 2023. Why are you here? To learn more about the Word of God, to gain more understanding for spiritual growth? Because God commands our presence? Do you have a special interest? Biblical history, current events, or have you realized that end-time prophecies describe our present-day life? Perhaps it's all of the above. Do you believe that we are living in the prophesied end time, approaching the tribulation? I've always had a special interest in prophecy. In particular, during the past decade, I have focused my understanding of what the prophecies are telling us about our future. You knew this day was coming. You just didn't think that it would be here this quickly. I'm talking about a prophecy that was sealed until the time of the end. That end time prophecy has been unsealed. Earlier this year, I realized that the scriptures that I was studying were in fact an explanation and understanding of an end time prophecy that was sealed until the time of the end. I'm going to share this end-time prophecy with you. What I'm going to explain to you is undeniable. It's provable. The understanding of this prophecy was hidden in Scripture in plain sight. It is hidden no longer. It not only will give you the understanding of a heretofore not understood prophecy, but it will also put the last nail in the coffin of the false belief that a spring first fruit resurrection and return of Christ is somehow on a fall holy day, the Feast of Trumpets. This prophecy refers to first fruit resurrections and the return of Christ during the spring harvest and in the seventh month, which contains the end of your fall holy days. It took me several years to put it all together, as you can see by the number of papers and graphic charts that I handed out. The understanding of this prophecy is hidden in scriptures that we have read and heard many times. I do have a warning. The first time through this explanation of this prophecy may be a bit overwhelming. And that's why those handouts are necessary. You can study and verify them later. Don't begin looking at the handouts yet. They contain a lot of information, and if you start looking at them, you will be distracted and won't be able to pay attention to what I'm saying. We'll get to them in a few minutes. I think a short prayer is in order to thank God for the knowledge He is revealing to us. It is critical and timely information. Father, we pray to thank you for the blessing and peace that you have given us and the ability for us to attend your Feast of Tabernacles. We ask for your continued blessings and look forward to the knowledge that you are about to reveal to us. We understand that this knowledge was sealed until the time of the end and will now be unsealed this day as stated in the Word of God by your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by our Lord and Savior. Amen. So let's get started. Let the scriptures speak. Thank you. If you have heard any of my previous presentations, then you know that I always speak about prophecy and end time events. The book of Revelation is mixed with chapters that describe various events, and you have to sort out the sequence of events and not be thrown off track when more detail is given a second or third time in the book. Recently, I began focusing on unraveling the sequence of events during the last 45 days of the 1335-day prophecy. While identifying the sequence of events, putting them in order, verifying the sequence in scriptures, I suddenly realized what I had uncovered. I found a series of events that are not described in scripture. They are hidden in scripture. Scripture states that the prophecy has been sealed until the time of the end. Amos 3, verse 7, surely the God will do nothing, but he revealeth the secret until his servants, the prophets. Before I go on, I have a message for you. Ezekiel 3, verse 27. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Twelve 1290 days from the establishment of the abomination. Scriptures in Revelation and Daniel give us very specific periods of time. You say again, 1290 days from the establishment of the abomination, Daniel 12, verse 11. The elect is protected for 1260 days. Revelation 11, verse 3, in chapter 12, verse 14. Then a scripture saying, blessed is he who waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. Daniel 12, verse 12. There's a blessing at the end of the 45 additional days. Why did Christ choose 45 days? Why not 47 or 38? Yes, there is a blessing at the end of the 45 days, but there is a lot more. The additional 45 days is the key that unlocks the timeline of events during the entire tribulation and first fruit harvest. We are obviously living at the end of the 6,000 years prior to the seventh 1,000-year period called the millennium. What we refer to as the tribulation is staring us in the face. Actually, I like to think of it as being on our front porch ringing the doorbell. With the introduction of a central bank digital currency, vaccine ID cards, computer chips in the hand or brain, we can be restricted in our buying and selling and other activities such as travel restrictions or even what we think. That time has arrived. The DNA-modifying transhumanist agenda is nothing less than the mark of the beast. Altering your DNA with nanotechnology and artificial software will transform your human anatomy to allow the control and monitoring of your thoughts and emotions. You can now turn over those group of papers I gave you. The UN, the United Nations, warns unregulated neurotechnology threatens freedom of thought. The UN is advising against neurotechnology using regulated AI chip implementation, saying it poses a great risk to people's mental privacy. Unregulated neurotechnology could pose harmful long-term risks. The UN says such a shaping such as shaping the way a person thinks or accessing private thoughts and emotions. It specified its concerns centered around unregulated neurotechnology and did not mention Neuralink, which received FDA approval in May to conduct microchip brain implant trials on humans. Elon Musk, who co-founded Neuralink, has made big claims saying the chips will cure people of lifelong health issues, allowing the blind to see and the paralyzed to walk again. But the implications of people using unregulated forms of this technology could have disastrous consequences by accessing the thoughts of those who use it, the UN said in a press release. The Daily Mail. This is dated 27 August, 2023. Mask study published by the NIH, of all places, the National Institute of Health, suggests that N95 COVID masks may expose wearers to dangerous levels of toxic compounds linked to seizures and cancer. A study published in April found disposable masks can have toxic chemicals. Experts said this could make newly instated mask mandates ineffective. Okay. We can now understand end-time prophecies with greater accuracy simply because we are now living in those prophesied times. I doubt that I am the only one on planet Earth that has recognized that the collusion of the world governments to establish a one-world government by reducing the population and controlling all human activity coincides with events leading into the tribulation. The tribulation period applies to the end of the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is an allegory of 6 days or 6,000 years of coming out of sin, followed by another 1,000 years, the millennium, to complete the first fruit harvest. And we are now living at the time of transitioning from the past 6,000 years into the 1,000-year millennium. Pentecost is called the Feast of First Fruits. Exodus 34, verse 22. And thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. Did you understand that? The Feast of Ingathering is much later than the first fruit harvest. We are commanded to observe these festivals every year, but when do they actually occur? When are the real first fruit resurrections? When will the actual Feast of Ingathering and Ingathering of all nations be fulfilled? The title of this presentation, the last chapter, is not about Revelation. It's about the book of Daniel. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Why is there a special warning in this scripture? Do you understand it? You will. Matthew 24, verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Notice that these scriptures say nothing about when ye therefore shall know that the abomination has established himself. Matthew states, no one in Israel was prepared or was expecting the abomination's appearance. Something is fishy an event such as the abomination going to the holy place, and it's a surprise. In reference to the tribulation, the abomination's unexpected appearance at the holy place, approximately 43 and a half months prior to Pentecost, will trigger the sudden beginning of the tribulation period. We, the elect, believe that we will know in advance of the abomination going to the holy place. What if his appearance is not obvious or publicized? Satan and the abomination certainly want to be as deceptive as possible, not revealing their actions in advance. And the media may be persuaded to not report or understand his rise to power, and it may not be obvious to the world yet. The abomination may make an unannounced or sudden trip after 30 days to go to the holy place. If the world knows of this appearance, I believe that there would be great resistance to him going to the holy place, or at least preparation for it. Is there any way that we can know in advance of the abomination going to the holy place? There is. Christ told us exactly what to watch for. Continuing in Matthew 24, verse 21, "For there shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Revelation 12, verse 2, "But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Do you interpret this scripture as I do? God already has two witnesses. He just hasn't given them power yet. Read it again. In the book of Daniel, Daniel was told by the Lord that the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Daniel 12, verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Many are running to and fro. Knowledge certainly has been increased. In fact, now we are on the threshold of AI, artificial intelligence, taking over the human body by modifying our DNA to change us into a transhuman being, part human, part computer. This is the mark of the beast. Matthew 12, verse 32. "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." There's a couple videos relative to this.
One final way that's new and is promising is called the RNA vaccine. With RNA and DNA, instead of putting that shape in, you put instructions in the code to make that shape.
Everything that I'm about to mention is currently being developed by Bill Gates, often in partnership with the CV19 playbook, MIT, all of which is backed by the United Nations and the Rockefeller Foundation. Due to ongoing mutations with CV19, the CV vaccine currently being developed will alter our DNA through an actual synthesizing of our individual genetic code using mRNA and CRISPR technology, which acts as scissors by cutting DNA at a designated spot and removing or inserting a new sequence with an artificial code to make sure every man, woman, and child complies with the One World Order's mandatory implementations. Gates and MIT are currently developing the human implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system. It's a factory for the hand, which will encode our identification mark and vaccination records. needs an enzyme called luciferase in order to make it work. The transhumanist agent on every person's head will glow with the bioluminescence of the light bearer, a chip you cannot remove with a knife. This tracking system will alter your DNA, and it's permanent. 33rd degree Freemason and occultist Manly D. Hall once wrote, quote, "The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands."
So this is urgent, and it's going to require incredible cooperation. It's going to have to go to 7 billion people.
What's even more concerning is that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on March 26, 2020, applied for a patent number 060606, to take that biometric data, give you a barcode, and connect each of us to cryptocurrency so that we would become literally slaves to the system. Like everything, it would be the end of privacy, the end of freedom, because who gets the data? Who uses the data? And what do they do with it? So this patent to connect the vaccinated to crypto.
The WHO is trying to have all countries give them complete control of all human and animal health mandates and environmental activities.
I would like shortly to...
This man where I have my hand pointing to is Dr. Malone. He is one of the inventors of the mRNA vaccine. Just wanted to let you know of his presence right here at this speech.
There are people from upcoming Danger for Humanity. The World Health Organization wants all countries to sign agreements on handing over the authority to declare a pandemic, procure vaccine and drugs. It will be healthier and safer for humanity to sign agreement with the Colombian drug cartel. They know all about drugs, for sure. During the COVID pandemic, World Health Organization only told lies. It should be declared a terroristic organization. They lied. That is a new and unknown virus. That is impossible to make an effective vaccine. That the vaccine is 82% effective. That it protects against serious illness and deaths. That all, of course, were foolish and lies. Today, World Health Organization is more dangerous for humanity than World Economic Forum. Thank you.
Transhumanism would connect us all together, as in the internet cloud, where what is referred to as the internet of bodies. We are individual beings in a unified collection of beings. If you doubt that, I suggest that you refer to Matthew 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. In your papers, look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread chart on the next page. The 30-day difference between the 1290 and 1260 days is the time from when the abomination is established and when he goes to the holy place, which triggers the 42-month wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb is followed by a 45-day period referred to as the wrath of God. This makes a total of 1335 days. How do I know that this chart is correct? The sealed knowledge in the book of Daniel proves its accuracy. Daniel 12, verse 8, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. What end was the Lord referring to when he made these statements? Christ continued with the following comments. Daniel 12, verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So in the end, referred to by Christ, the wise shall understand the meaning of the sealed words in the book of Daniel. Christ didn't say that a particular person or event would unseal the book, but only that the wise shall understand at the time of the end. Daniel previously stated in Daniel 2, verse 20, Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. When Daniel asked, what shall be the end of these things? Christ answered with three scriptures relative to the 1290 and 1335 days. Is there a hidden understanding in Christ's comments? Something that the wise shall understand in the end times. Not trying to say I'm wise. Maybe just persistent. Let's take a look at the last three scriptures stated by Christ in the last chapter of Daniel. Daniel 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. These events do not occur at the same time. When Christ stops his spiritual daily sacrifice in heaven, the abomination doesn't suddenly jump out from behind a door. This will take time. It was Christ's spiritual sacrifices in heaven that was holding back the establishment of the abomination. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he, Christ stopping his daily intervention for the nations, be taken out of the way. Strong's number G2721 indicates that letteth refers to restrains. So actually it's only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Christ has obviously already stopped his spiritual daily sacrifice due to humanity's disobedience and rapid decline of morality. Daniel 12, verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. What is the blessed at the end of the 1,335 days? The key that unlocks the hidden events, the sealed understanding in Daniel, is the additional 45 days. To reveal the hidden events, the understanding of the sealed words, the proper placement of the additional 45 days is required. Verse 13. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Look at verse 13. It doesn't say the end of days, but the end of the days. Christ is referring to the end of the 1335 days. Christ reassured Daniel that he would rest and stand. In other words, he'd die and be resurrected by the end of the 1335 days. Scripture states that there will be 1290 days from the establishment of the abomination, and that the elect will be taken to a place of safety for 1260 days. Both periods of time, the 1290 and the 1260 days, end at the same time. Refer to the chart I gave you. Understanding the last few scriptures, verse 11, 12, and 13, in the last chapter of the book of Daniel, reveals the hidden understanding of the words in the book of Daniel. And you are going to be the first to be made aware of what they reveal. I'm referring to today, right now, the knowledge and understanding of the sealed words in Daniel has not been made known before. This knowledge will spread throughout the earth from today forward because of you receiving this knowledge today. As I stated, for years, I believed that the 1335 days end on Pentecost. And that is when Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God. I had calculated and watched for 45 days from the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Pentecost, but never considered any further investigation until recently. Knowing that Pentecost is at the end of the 1335 days, I finally decided to find out what was at the beginning of the 1335 days. A series of surprising events were revealed, and I just stared at what I found. Was I looking at the sealed message in Daniel? With a knowledge and understanding that the additional 45 days is the time period from the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the start of Pentecost, the hidden events are revealed. I will now explain to you what the last three scriptures in Daniel, stated by Christ, reveals. The following is only the beginning of the sealed and hidden message to Daniel. Listen carefully. When there are exactly 45 days from the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Pentecost, many significant events occur that have not been recognized or known before now. So what events am I talking about? Counting back from the start of Pentecost to the beginning of the 1335 days reveals that the abomination will establish himself on a new moon. 30 days later, when the abomination goes to the holy place, it will again be on a new moon. Remember, Christ stated the number of the days in this timeline. I did not. Look at the next chart, the 1335-day prophecy. We now have two consecutive new moons starting at the beginning of the 1335 days, and again 30 days later when the abomination goes to the holy place. If you do your own calculations, please remember God's days are a 24-hour period starting at sunset, the evening before the official calendar. Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. When the abomination goes to the holy place, how many days are left in the 1290-day prophecy? 1290 minus 30 is 1260 days. How many days are the elect prophesied, are protected, protected in a place of safety? Revelation 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And now the elect will be protected a second time. Revelation 12, verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, when she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half time, from the face of the serpent. Don't get lost in thought. There is a lot more to come. There are more significant new moons events that occur during the last 45 days. Do you see the significance of this knowledge? The advance notice of the elect being taken to a place of safety. Calculating the beginning of the 1335 days, when there are 45 days from the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Pentecost, the first new moon will appear 8 or 9 days after the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, always. The two new moons at the beginning of the 1335 days are associated with physical events. If the elect is protected for all 1260 days, that means that they will have to flee to a place of safety prior to the start of the 1260 days. God didn't cause the Israelites in Egypt to fly across the Red Sea. They had to walk, even though they were supported on eagle's wings. Exodus 19, verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And remember that the Israelites were told to prepare to leave Egypt. God, through Moses, was forcing Pharaoh's hand for a period of time. The message in Daniel tells us when to prepare. The scripture stating that there are a total of 1,335 days indicates that there are 45 more days after the end of the 1290-day prophecies. These 45 days begin after the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There are two more new moons that coincide with significant events during the last 45 days, scripturally referred to as the wrath of God. Scriptures validate the sequence and timing of these events. As the tribulation nears the end of the 42 months, 3.5 years later, we again come to the beginning of spring or seed time in a new year. A new year begins on a new moon. 13 days later, Passover occurs on a full moon. Christ's resurrection changed sacrifices from physical to spiritual. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, the second half of the hidden events revealed by the scriptures in the last chapter of the book of Daniel. Again, the placement of the 45 days plays a critical role in the timing and understanding of these events. There are 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread after Passover. The Passover lamb pictures the sacrifice for the early spiritual harvest of the called out in the great Goat Atonement, sin offering, pictures the sacrifice of Christ as applied to the main fall harvest. The last 45 days begin at the end of the sixth day, starting with the last holy day, which represents the millennium. This is also 1290 days after the establishment of the abomination, and also at the end of the 1260-day protection of the elect. Revelation 11. Man, wrong page. Keep track of the time, the number of days. Approximately 14 days after Passover, there will be another new moon. Is there any significant event that takes place at that time? Since there is no scripture indicating that the two witnesses are immediately killed by the beast at the end of the 1260 days, but scripture does state that after the two witnesses finish prophesying for 1260 days, the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit makes war with the two witnesses. Revelation 11, verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit makes war with against them and shall overcome them and kill them. A battle obviously occurs, so a short period of time until the two witnesses are killed is reasonable. In other words, a day or two initially passes before they are killed, after which they lie in the street for 3.5 days before being resurrected. The people are happy and celebrate the death of the two witnesses. Why? Because they expose their sins, false religions, traditions, and corrupt governments. Revelation 11, verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. The resurrection triggers an immediate earthquake, death and destruction of the city. Revelation 11, verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Note that at this point in time, the living remnant still has not been resurrected. In Revelation 11, verse 13, in the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven. Another day or two of chaos. Joel 2, verse 32. As the Lord has said, and in the remnant, whom the Lord shall call. Woe 3 begins after the two witnesses have been resurrected and the great earthquake takes place. The next scripture states, Revelation 11, 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. The timing of these events, approximately 1 week into the last 45 days, approximately 14 days after Passover, indicates that woe 3 begins in the expected time of the next new moon, as the seventh trumpet begins to sound, and the first fruit spiritual resurrections of the dead and chosen living take place. Christ declares victory after the seven last plagues, before the seven last plagues are poured out. The next verse, verse 15, and a seventh angel sounded. This is the angel that contains seven more angels, each with one of the seven last plagues. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And this is before the seven last plagues are poured out. As the seventh trumpet begins to sound, the first fruit resurrections take place. Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Matthew 24, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the seventh trumpet. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Christ resurrects the first fruits, but does not return to the earth at this time to establish the kingdom. As you see, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice, we meet them in the air, as I stated, does not return to the earth just yet. Yes, we now have a resurrection new moon. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 just stated that after the dead in Christ are resurrected to spirit, the chosen living shall be resurrected. The chosen are also resurrected to spirit. No one is ever resurrected to spirit and then judged to see if they qualify. Revelation 20, verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. The seven last plagues are still to come. Revelation 15, 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. The second new moon in the last 45 days, approximately 28 days later, about a week before the end of the 45 days, matches the timing of another significant event. This new moon is a Sabbath new moon. When the 45-day time period applies to the start of Pentecost, there will always be a Sabbath new moon prior to Pentecost. Revelation chapter 19 describes the marriage of the Lamb. Verse 2 clearly indicates that the wedding of the Lamb takes place after the fall of Babylon. Revelation 19:2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. This is past tense. The fall of Babylon, the great city, is near the end of the seven last plagues. It is described in Revelation 16, verses 17 through 19. Scripture makes a clear comment about the timing of this event. Revelation 16, verse 17. In the seventh angel with the seventh and last plague, poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. This earthquake is no small event. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. This was a reminder to God about the recent punishment of Babylon. Revelation chapter 18 also describes the lamenting of Babylon's fall. Revelation 19:2 indicates that this had been done before the wedding. The marriage of Christ in heaven takes place at the end of the seventh and last plague, just before Christ and his army of angels return to the earth and treadeth the winepress of the wrath of God to smite and rule the nations with the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Yes, we now have a marriage of the Lamb, Sabbath, new moon. Revelation 19:14. Notice that scriptures are continuing in sequence. And the armies which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. First Corinthians chapter 15 provides insight into the first fruit resurrections. For every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. First fruits is plural. Christ first resurrects his chosen first fruits, the two witnesses, the dead in Christ, the living 144,000. Saints and are all first fruits. Afterward, Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God at the beginning of the millennium, when many more of the living will qualify to be changed to spiritual first fruits. First fruit resurrections begin at the start of Woe 3 when the seventh angel, the seventh trumpet, begins to sound. Later at his coming, other first fruits are resurrected. Remember the remark of remnant. At his coming refers to the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation when Christ officially returns to establish the kingdom of God on Pentecost at the end of the 45 in 1335 days. Daniel 12, verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 in 30 days. In the book of Acts, Peter preached to the crowd on Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What did Joel say? Joel 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Only Christ can pour out God's Spirit on all flesh, and Christ's statement in Daniel 12, verse 12, makes it clear that that day will be Pentecost. Getting the scripture I wanted here. 42. Revelation 20, verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. The prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a dual prophecy, which will be partially fulfilled when the nations of Asia come up against Jerusalem the first time during the wrath of God, when Messiah the Christ and his army of angels destroy the armies in the winepress at the end of Woe 3. And then after 1,000 years of peace, Ezekiel 38-39 will be fulfilled in its fullness. Satan will be chained just prior to Pentecost and will be released after 1,000 years just prior to Pentecost for a little season. Continuing Revelation 20, verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, the nations of Asia, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. When Satan is released at the end of the 1,000 years, just before the Feast of Pentecost, exactly 1,000 years later, he will deceive the nations of the east. The deceived multitudes will then come up against Jerusalem, from which Messiah the Christ is ruling over the earth, and will come against the people of God who are dwelling in peace. The people will sound the alarm by blowing the trumpets, fulfilling the memorial of the Feast of Trumpets that looks forward to God's complete and final victory over Satan. Leviticus 23, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets. Strong's 8643, Shout for Joy, hence the rejoicing of sounding the shofar being added to the silver trumpets. Verse 25. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This scripture says nothing about the return of Christ. Continuing the timeline in Revelation 20, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints without, and the beloved city and fire came down from God of heaven and devoured them. Next is the Day of Atonement. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a dual prophecy, first fulfilled only in part as the smallest foretype at the end of the tribulation, and then fulfilled in all its fullness after the millennium. The new Europe will first conquer Jerusalem in Judea at the beginning of the tribulation, and later in a third year will attack Asia. It's referenced in Daniel 11, verse 42. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 5, verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Who will be in the second death? Remember that the rest of past humanity will be resurrected to flesh to finish their lives after the millennium. Back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end. Listen to the description of what end this scripture was referring to. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So the end is when death is destroyed. When does Christ deliver up the kingdom to God? Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The second death does not occur during the millennium. Reference Revelation 20, verse 6. This is referring to the great white throne judgment after all past humanity has been resurrected, the ingathering of all nations, and they all have been judged and either changed to spirit or destroyed by death in the final lake of fire. The second resurrection is a resurrection to flesh. The second resurrection occurs after the millennium, after Satan, another enemy of God, is released from his prison and again brings the nations to war. And then Satan and his angels are thrown into the lake of fire, which is during the Day of Atonement. And the rest of all past humanity is resurrected in the ingathering of nations, the Feast of Tabernacles, and given the opportunity to live out their normal lifespan, after which they are judged in the Great White Throne Judgment. And remember, as stated in 1 Corinthians 15:23, relative to the first fruit resurrections, every man in his own order. Resurrecting more than 20 billion people to flesh to complete their natural life and later being judged will take a very, very long time. Death is finally destroyed when all the wicked had been thrown into the lake of fire and all the righteous have been resurrected to spirit, leaving only a totally spiritual family of God. This is when God destroys the earth by fire, creates a new heaven and a new earth, and sends his holy city, New Jerusalem, to the earth to dwell with his spiritual family. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. A sea is not needed by eternal spiritual beings. A living humanity in the flesh during the millennium and the ingathering of nations after the millennium does need a sea. Revelation 12, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Has Christ now delivered up the kingdom to God? Verse 2, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is describing events after the earth has been destroyed by fire, and there is a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. 2 Peter 3, verse 7 and 8. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved until fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We are now living through the first 7,000-year period, 6,000 years of coming out of sin, and about to start the last 1,000-year millennium to complete the 7,000-year first fruit harvest, the first resurrection. The earth is not destroyed by fire and a new heaven and new earth created at the end of the millennium, unless you skip the rest of the Revelation. Notice how the events in Revelation continue flowing in sequence. In latter chapters, Satan is released after the 1,000 years, Revelation 20, verse 7, when they're later beginning destroyed in the lake of fire, Revelation 20, verse 10, fulfilling the Day of Atonement. The rest of the dead, more than 20 billion, are resurrected to flesh. It's Revelation 20, verse 5 and 13. Then the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, verse 12, 15, after which God destroyed the earth by fire and creates a new heaven and a new earth, and then sends his new Jerusalem to this earth, Revelation 20, verse 1 and 2. This is a very long time after the millennium. More than 20 billion people could never be resurrected to flesh, and each one judged according to their works, all at the same time. Revelation 20, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. This scripture states that the sea still exists after the millennium. Then obviously God has not yet destroyed the earth and prepared the earth for his holy city and his return to be with his now all spiritual family. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Great detail about the fall harvest is not needed in our present era. Another book would be needed after Revelation to explain all the events that will occur after the millennium. Many of the prophets do provide details, and during the millennium, there is no doubt that Christ will teach us all about what is to come. We are confused enough by trying to include the fall holy days with the first fruit harvest, even when Scripture clearly states that those events occur after the 1,000 years are fulfilled. You can't mix together seed time and end of year harvest. Although the first two moons of the 1,335 days are date specific, or more correctly stated as new moon dependent, the last two are not. However, the sequence of events does put the first fruit resurrections and the marriage of the Lamb at the approximate time of the last two new moons, respectively, during the last 45 days. This gives God the flexibility for those spiritual events to occur on the two-day window for each of the new moons. The first two moons coincide with the beginning of the 1,335 days, when there are 45 days from the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the start of Pentecost. This also sets up the timing of the last two new moons during the events in the last 45 days. The first two new moons involve physical events. Both of the new moons during the last 45 days involve spiritual events. Do you think that God would desire to create specific times to commemorate and celebrate the first fruit resurrections and the marriage of his Son in heaven? I believe that he will. This gives even more credence to the understanding that God will cause the appropriate events to fall on the new moons. This presentation is the result of understanding of Christ's comments in the last three scriptures of the last chapter of Daniel. They also hold the key to understanding the significant events during the last 45 days. Christ confirms that the blessing is the pouring out of God's Spirit on all humanity on Pentecost when he establishes the kingdom of God. Knowing that the 1,335 days ends on Pentecost reveals the timing of all of the end time events. Christ didn't say that there will be a blessing at the end of 1,336 days or 1,339. The new moons only line up when there are 45 days to Pentecost. I bet you are thinking about when is the next time that a new moon appears at the beginning of the 1,335 days foretold by the 45 days to Pentecost. Want to feel uncomfortable? Or perhaps I should say, keep your bags packed. Actually, the next time these events line up is less than 14 days from today. The first new moon, the abomination new moon, is October 17th, 2023. 8 days after the eighth day of the feast. Of course, that is if God has chosen this time period and if the projected sighting of the new moon will be on the day that it is currently expected. It is entirely at God's will. A caution, remember God's days begin the evening before the calculated calendar days. God remains full control of which month a new year begins and which day a new moon is sighted. But God has given us the signs. One thing is clear. If the abomination appears on a new moon in the fall that matches the calculated beginning of the 1335 days to the beginning of the Pentecost, we know to prepare for the next new moon when the abomination goes to the holy place. This supports the understanding that a new moon must be observed only in one place, Jerusalem. And those who don't will be divided and may not recognize the signs. Personally, I don't think that one of the end times events have fully developed yet. In 2030, the 45-day window to Pentecost appears again. In the example shown in the chart, Pentecost is on Sunday, June 9th in 2030. Then the abomination new moon will be October 13th in 2026. If you use June 8th, Saturday, evening of the start of, as the start of Pentecost, the abomination new moon will be October 12th, 2026, starting at sunset. The timing of the new moon matches the 1335 days using either method. Recently, I have, as I stated, not believed that timing is right yet. Although things have been happening rather quickly more recently, realizing that this time period doesn't appear again for three more years, I'm really concerned with the events taking place that if the elect's going to be protected, I don't see how they can wait three more years. So pay attention in 2 weeks. The bottom line is this. We now understand the playbook that was revealed in the book of Daniel. Christ's answer to Daniel was all about the 1335 days that contains an additional 45 days period that reveals the timing of the first fruit resurrections and the marriage of the Lamb with a blessing at the end. And these events only fit together when the last day of the 1335 days is Pentecost. Christ has confirmed that he will establish the kingdom of God on Pentecost. When the 45-day window from the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Pentecost appears, 3.5 years in the future, we need to pay attention to the new moon, 8 days after the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Pay special attention to events and news around the time of the new moon, and if a person rises in a powerful position, probably a religious position, prepare to flee to a place of safety as the second new moon approaches. The timeline and dates that I have given you are provable. What happens on those dates is up to God. However, the timeline given by Christ is very specific. We, the elect, now know the signs to watch for and when to watch for them. Any seriously religious person shall pay attention to them and be watchful. That's exactly what God instructs us to do. Since we are now living in the end times, do the following scriptures now make more sense to you? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But other times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. We now understand what seven, what events will occur up to the seed time, first fruit harvest, and establishment of the kingdom of God. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that that day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. We now know the signs to watch for. 1 Thessalonians 5, we are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Matthew 25, verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Brethren, the curtain is rising. The show is about to begin. I'm going to end with a 6-minute video that shows you how the abomination will establish himself. Listen very carefully to what these people are saying. And then I think you'll be able to see who, what person Satan will give power to. Well, okay. I don't know why that does not have a sound.
Yeah, started.
That all sounds good and nice, but what's really the intention of this meeting? The Congress is held once every 3 years in the same place, starting in 2003 in direct reaction to the events of 9/11. First, focusing on countering terrorism and extremism issues. This year, Pope Francis...
Let me start that over.
On September 14th and 15th of 2022, the 7th Congress of Leaders of World and Traditional Religions took place in the conference hall of the Palace of Independence in the capital of Kazakhstan, Central Asia. Heads of every religion around the world were in attendance. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, etc., all coming together in the spirit of peace and unity. That all sounds good and nice, but what's really the intention of this meeting? The Congress is held once every 3 years in the same place, starting in 2003 in direct reaction to the events of 9/11. First, focusing on countering terrorism and extremism issues. This year, Pope Francis, head of the Roman Catholic Church, attended in person and delivered a keynote message. Although his motto for the event was peace and unity, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, was never mentioned. And it seems that the Pope, the supposed head of Christendom, is more concerned with uniting with other religions rather than uniting in Christ, as the Bible teaches. Is Pope Francis laying the groundwork for the emergence of a one-world religion? The crux of the United Nations one-world order is global control, in part through a new world religion. As Robert Mueller, the former Assistant Secretary General of the UN, says, quote, was it not inevitable that the UN would sooner or later also acquire a spiritual dimension? What the world needs today is a convergence of the different religions in the search for and definition of the cosmic or divine laws which ought to regulate our behavior on this planet. My religion, my nations, must be abandoned forever in the planetary age. In the opening of the Congress, the final declaration was read aloud by Joe Bailey Wells, a bishop of the Anglican Church of England. Aside from direct calls to address climate change, economic inequality, and various social justice issues, the declaration states that the Congress is, quote, guided by our shared desire for a just, peaceful, secure, and prosperous world. Bringing to mind 1 Thessalonians 5:3, which warns, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. The opening statement also calls for the, quote, necessity for spiritual and political leaders to work together in addressing the challenges of our world. This idea of merging the church and state is also brought to light in Pope Francis's speech when he says, quote, there is a healthy connection between politics and transcendence, a sound form of coexistence that keeps their spheres distinct, but not confused or separate. Transcendence is a word he uses in place of religion. And later in the speech, he even defines transcendence as, quote, the beyond worship, suggesting that all religions are at root worshiping the same thing, regardless of where their faith lies. He goes on to say, quote, transcendence, for its part, must not yield to the temptation to turn into power, further pushing the church and state into unity. Quote, know then the confusion between politics and transcendence, but know also to their separation. Just like ancient Babylon, the early Roman church was both a church and state power, religious and political, and it was also a conglomerate of various pagan belief systems before it ultimately merged with Christianity. Is Pope Francis trying to lead religions of the world into a merger with the Roman church? In his speech, he clearly states, quote, our human family cannot advance if simultaneously united and divided, interconnected and torn apart. The Catholic Church believes in the unity of the human family. Based on what he says, it seems he does want to unite the religions of the world under the banner of Catholicism. Pope Francis began his reign by expressing a desire for unity with the Eastern Orthodox, the Anglicans, and many other Protestant denominations, claiming, quote, brothers and sisters, Martin Luther's protest is over. Is yours? Then Pope Francis began courting Muslims later in his reign. Quote, to Muslims who worship the one God, I see a tangible sign of the will to grow in mutual esteem and cooperation for the common good of humanity. This common good phrase is the true heart of the papacy, hidden in plain sight, not the divinity of Jesus Christ. That's why the Pope can be seen wearing ancient pagan symbols from around the world, because his goal is unity of religions under the Catholic Church. Catholic, which means universal. This goal is made clear by Alice A. Bailey, the prophetess of the UN. Quote, there will not be any dissociation between the universal church, the sacred lodge of all true Masons, and the inner circles of the esoteric society. In this way, the goals and work of the United Nations shall be solidified, and a new church of God led by all religions and by all the spiritual groups shall put an end to the great heresy of separateness. Although 2 Corinthians states, quote, come out from among them and be separate. Alice A. Bailey further states, quote, then there will be neither Christian nor heathen, neither Jew nor Gentile, but simply one great body of believers gathered out of all the current religions. Prophetically, the Bible clearly teaches that there will be some kind of universal religion, a beast system, that enforces a mark used to buy and sell, and that this beast will be led by a political religious leader that requires worship for your personal survival. This Congress of Leaders of World and Traditional Religions, led by Pope Francis, is a step in the direction of a new world religion. There's no question about that. The only question left is, will you be ready to avert its deception and stand up to the beast and its mark through the power of Jesus Christ? This is Brian Wilson with InfoWars. www.bilandgates.com.